Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Chip.
Shoshana, it's okay.
And Chip has an art studio on Lock Street, and I happened to stop in and meet him one day last week, and as I was coming in from the cold, and we chatted, and I gave Chip my card, and he called me. So he's a terrific author. So Chip, tell us a little bit about you, how you settled in Albany, and what kind of art you do.
Thanks, Cynthia. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I appreciate you taking an interest in what I do. I've been a Center Square near Lark Street neighborhood resident for over 20 years. For the past 6 years, I've been splitting my time as an artist living between here in Southern California, San Diego, to be specific. I love both places, and I feel at home here in Albany. I love our community. Things are really developing nicely right now here. Going to San Diego for the past 6 years, I fell in love with that place. And I was on a trajectory to move there full time because I've gotten a lot of cool public art projects out there, done a lot of murals. And over the past couple of years here in our region in Albany and Troy, things have been really burgeoning. And opportunities for artists like myself have really expanded. So it's a really exciting time, and I've recommitted myself to really staying here and working on this working with this community. And there's just what I've experienced specifically at the space that I met you in was just a sea of creativity there on Lark Street while we were in this temporary studio. I had a music area set up as well as a sculpture making studio, and we were by day. I say we. This was a pop-up show that I was having with a couple other local artists, specifically a gentleman named Well Dunn, Greg Dunn, really nice guy. He has fantastic local art. A gentleman named Alex Waters, who has a studio at the Albany Barn. Myself. And I ended up putting in a couple other local artists from the neighborhood as well over the course of the 2 months. But the focus of the show was on recycling. When I came in to talk to the great folks at Lark Hall, which is really one of the most exciting projects going on, if people listening out there aren't aware, a 500-person concert hall on the corner of Lark Street and Lois Parsons Way, also known as Hudson Avenue. The 500-person concert hall is going to be opening up really soon. They've already had a couple of preliminary concerts in there, and it's an old theater from the 1920s. It's gorgeous with the old ceilings and architecture, and it's just going to be a really special place to watch a music show. So that's going to give our neighborhood here on Lark Street a huge shot in the arm, I think. And I've been lucky enough to work with them. They've been super generous in letting me have a temporary space. And in the temporary space there, we've been making what I saw the first day when I talked to them were all these hundreds of flower buckets that were left over from the flower shop, the really nice flower shop that was there for many years, Lark Street Flower, which has now moved up the street a couple blocks. You know, we've all been in there a million times, and it was a really special spot. So I had this idea of upcycling all these buckets, keeping them out of landfills, and turning them into sculptures that are based on the birds of the names of the streets here in Center Square. So in doing this, there was an incredible response by the local community of creative folks on Lark Street, and I've had help from all kinds of different people. It's been really exciting that everyone in there is talking about recycling and talking about the bigger conversation of our world right now and the climate. So that's exciting. I see a lot of these young people in the area excited about recycling and doing better things than just throwing stuff into landfills. That's like the basis of my work. And it's really cool. I've been recycling with my art materials for 20 years. And right now I see this great popularity with it. People are all into it because of the things going on. And that's really exciting to me. So I'm just trying to, you know, stay on that wave. And I think people are responding more to my work now because of it.
You have different shows. Do you put on unique shows?
I do. I've been doing these pop-up shows for many years. I started doing them in the early 2000s under the moniker of Albany Underground Artists. I started a group of artists where we took vacant buildings. There were a plethora of vacant buildings here during that time, and I saw this opportunity. And landlords weren't really totally taking care of these properties. It didn't seem like anyone was going to buy them anytime soon. It was sort of a depressed area at the time. And I started approaching landlords and asking if we could use their empty spaces, clean them up for them, and have one-night art shows that people could catch if they were sort of in the know at the time. This was pre-Instagram and stuff, Dave, so it was all done on my email thread. I had this great email thread of people that came to our shows, and it was wildly successful. I did that for a number of years. It brought us down to New York City, where we had shows in the Chelsea neighborhood there. I eventually got my work shown in London for several shows through the New York shows. So it was this great success. After a while, I started focusing more on my own work than having these shows. So I've been I'm a painter and I'm a muralist. I'm a multimedia artist, but I think I'm mostly known as a painter and muralist now. And I started focusing on that more. And then recently the pop-up shows thing started coming back up, and there's all these great possibilities. And so what I'm doing right now is trying to tie in recycling and community and art and design. And those three things, I'm trying to keep it really basic and think about that in all the projects that I do. I just had a really large, the biggest mural I've ever done out in North Troy this past summer. I was working on that all summer. I had great support from the Arts Center of the Capital Region, Elizabeth Reese, Barbara Nelson at TAP Incorporated, which is a really cool organization there in Troy, working on community and art development. And Brian McCandless, who's doing some amazing things with the buildings that he owns up in North Troy, the way that he's being really sensitive to the community that's already there. And not just being somebody that's looking for money, I don't think. I think he's really looking for substance in that community. So that kind of thing gets me really excited when people are thinking about, you know, what they're doing and why they're doing it, and they're not just out to make money. So that's a really positive thing in my eyes.
Now, you split your time between the Capital District and Southern California. Southern California seems like, especially today where it's raining and you know, freezing rain, people think of Southern California as an ideal climate. What is so exciting about living in the Capital District that you don't find in the Southern California?
That's a great question. Thank you, Cynthia. I'm actually cold, but believe me, I love San Diego for the weather. I think everybody does. It's a magical place. I feel like it's my second home now after being out there 6 years. I'm fortunate enough to have some really good friends who, as a starving artist here for many years, they've been really supportive with me and helped me out with places to stay and helped me get projects. It's been overwhelmingly nice. As an artist, without these connections, I can't really operate. So philanthropy comes in a variety of forms. And to answer your question more directly, for me as an artist, I guess compounding on that point, for me as an artist, I have to go where the money is and where the projects are. And so before I went to San Diego, I was spending a lot of time in New York City doing projects because I was helping build. I'm a sculptor as well, and as well as a designer. And once again, I work with almost always work with reclaimed materials, and I've done a wide variety of projects. My Instagram is FerdBot. There's a self-plug. Sorry, I have to do that. But I was going to Brooklyn and doing a lot of work when Williamsburg was coming up, and I helped build a lot of cool shops and stuff with my designer and sculptor friends down there, and I was on a trajectory to move there. The point being, to answer the question about San Diego versus Albany, I was going to San Diego as my next venture, and I was working on getting projects out there. But while being there over the past 6 years, the past 2 years specifically, I've noticed this great trend of not just hearsay, because there's been a lot of hearsay over the years that, yes, we're going to come back, we're going to be this great place, because I felt like we've always been ripe for that. We have this amazing architecture, this amazing history. We have great people here. We have all this beautiful outdoor stuff easily accessible out of an urban area. I love our area, like true and true. But what happened for me personally and selfishly is I was sort of like moving on. I needed to find new markets as an artist. And what I can say definitively to answer your question is that, like, I really genuinely feel now like, wow, this place is burgeoning. There's opportunities all the time. There's new businesses opening up. There's mural projects all over the place. And the people who are running the arts programs in charge of things, they're helping us out as artists. So it just is super refreshing, and I feel very hopeful for the first time in a long time. So it's great.
So you feel as if Albany is a great place if you're an artist, right?
I would say that I wouldn't say that specifically, and I'm glad you're having me be more specific about that. I think if you are motivated, you can do well as an artist here. We have less expensive spaces. I'm seeing firsthand, especially being in that space that we met at, I was there for 2 months, right on the corner, in a very visible location, right on the corner of Lark and Hudson, Lois Parsons Way there. And, so a lot of creative people it's like a fish tank in there. We had these big, huge glass windows, and people just gravitated in there, like you did when you guys were looking for Lark Hall and all. And I met so many people working on films. I met a lot of New York City people. I met people from Pittsburgh. I had people from everywhere just sort of meandering around the neighborhood, like looking for things to do during the day. And I was also just watching the whole world unfold from in there. And it's like we're having more and more things to do. There's more and more shops being filled up. And, I think people are starving for creative spaces. And, the arts and stuff on Lark Street right now. Being in that space, there was this is the way I've been saying it to people. There's been a river of creative, young creatives walking by there, and not tons of opportunities for them. So what's the answer to your question is, I see great opportunity literally starting to happen right now. It's happening right now, and I see a lot of young artists who wouldn't have been engaged in the past. They would have all gone to Brooklyn or something like that, and now Troy over the past decade. But now things are really happening. I look at Albany and Troy as the same place. I think a lot of people have this silly notion or whatever that they're separate places. We're the same place. It's 7 miles away. I'm going to Troy right after we speak here. So it's like, you know, I put right on my Instagram my name, and then I put San Diego/Albany/Troy. So I don't even really know.
Wow.
I mean, wow. For what I do, I need to be in both places. You know what I mean?
So the type of art that you do, it's fascinating to see what you do.
Thank you.
Is there a big demand? How do you think the community embraces your work?
With the murals specifically, what I have started doing these past couple of years is actually having kids in the communities that I'm painting the murals on come and participate in some of like the base coating. And I'll fill out some areas with stencils, and then they can sort of fill in with color. And it's been amazing. It's been amazing. There's a video on my Instagram for that. And I'm very proud of my friend Erin Pelagia, helped me put together, and it just blew my mind. And she made me feel really like I was doing good things. And anyways, Yeah, that's been a really magical part of my work, because I've been, as artists, we can get really in our own heads, and you know, because we're introspective and so on, and it's sort of it's a self-involved kind of a career, you know. And so what I think rediscovered in a lot of ways, having moved around and been looking for projects and all that, or looking at other places, I've rediscovered in a really solid way that, like, working with the community is very, not only very important, but very fulfilling to, part of my work. That's, it makes me feel more whole as a person to be, like, getting some of the young people excited and hopeful about, you know, what might be.
No, you.
And when they paint,
sure
when they help me, when they help me paint these murals, I don't think I was being clear. When the kids help paint these murals, and then they're there, and the kids drive by, they can be like, "I helped work on that," and I see them getting excited about it firsthand, and it's thrilling.
Right.
It's a really good thing.
So, you've loved art, I assume, ever since you were a young person. Do you agree with that?
I have actually loved it, yes, but I had an interesting path. I actually used to be a corporate person in the 90s, and I worked for most of my corporate experiences were with a company called ADP, Automatic Data Processing. I was working in the Syracuse office for several years, and then I got a promotion to come to Albany. That's how I ended up in Albany, New York. And we had an office over here as well. And then I eventually worked for Johnson & Johnson selling AccuView contact lenses for, I guess, up towards a year, not quite a year. I worked for them at the tail end of my career. But that's the most notable company. And so then I had a good friend of mine committed suicide at that time. And it was a life-changing experience, but it made me reevaluate the brevity of life. And then put me directly in touch with my own feelings eventually of that I wanted to do something creatively. And the first thing I did was write, and then I then played music, and I worked on that for years. But that was a frustrating business, I think, to be in, because I wanted to be able to do something creative and, like, do it through and through, like I'm doing now. I wanted to make money at it and perpetuate it. If you don't make money on your creative endeavor, you can't keep doing it. You won't survive. So I ended up moving in below an artist. Or I went after my friend passed. I went on this soul searching venture, traveling around the country. And when I returned, the same year I was working for Johnson & Johnson, I was now working as a barista on Lark Street, and I was in heaven, because I was, like, just going through these changes. I was doing a lot of writing, and I was meeting a lot of creative people around here, and I was immersing myself more in a world that I didn't have access to before. So I ended up, once again, being a barista, and I met a guy who was a painter, and he would come in with his two kids to the coffee shop, and he lived down on Hudson Avenue, actually. And he said, I was looking for a new place to live, because I had just returned from traveling, and I still had this penthouse that I couldn't afford anymore over on Willett Street. And so he said, I have this place that used to be an apartment below me. You can work on it and see if you can fix it up and live in there for cheap. So I went down there and I did that. And down there, he told me he was an artist, and I was impressed with how this guy was living. He was selling his paintings. He had a designer in Boston. He was selling his work through. And it was pretty good. He was doing it. He was having the life as an artist, or making a living as an artist somewhat. And I was impressed by this. And I asked him, and I saw those canvases, and I just wanted to work on them. And that was the day I started. He said, go for it. Use any of those materials down there you want. And I was appreciative, and I lived in this space, and I watched him do what he did. And I just started painting every day, and the rest is history. I've been doing this since then, 20 years ago, I guess it was.
Wow. You know, I think artists see things differently than other people.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your vision that you see that you could share with the listening audience that people might say, oh, yeah, that's good. What's your vision?
Vision. I guess in simple terms, I think mine's the same as a lot of people's right now, which is, I'm sorry if I'm sounding cliche, but it is something I've believed in for a long time, and I still do, which is to keep upcycling and recycling and reusing stuff and use less. That's what I've come. It's taken me years to really identify with what it is I care about, even though I've sort of cared
right.
about it the whole time. But now it's, you know, just making art for a while. You know, first I was making pretty pictures and people like the way they look and all that. But I'm not trying to just make something super deep every time I make stuff. Sometimes I just like to make little pretty things. But sometimes, especially if I'm doing the murals and I'm going into a community where people live, I want them to have some kind of substance. So I had to ask myself when I started doing these public murals, like, what is it that I care about? And that is what I care about. Conservation. I think people use too much stuff and they don't need to. It's just, you know, because we're getting advertised to and all, you know, the story. I don't need to go off. Everybody knows that whole concept, but I'm behind using less and reusing more stuff. I think it trickles down and it helps the rest of the people in the world instead of hating each other and just trying to beat each other out. I feel like we're supposed to evolve from that a little bit, you know?
So you have a website?
I do all my stuff. I used to have a website for many years. I was, but I just do it on my Instagram now, which is Ferdbot. It's spelled Ferdbot. And that
okay.
I was telling you. I'm sorry. Go on.
So I figured that if you had a website, I would direct everybody to your website. I'm not that familiar with Instagram. I know Instagram is all pictures. So if somebody wants to come see your shop, your studio.
Ironically, I just had to break that temporary studio shop down yesterday. I'm finishing up today. So now I'm hoping to pop up at a new space sometime soon. I have a couple things in the works. I have a studio here in Center Square, so I'm always working in different spaces. I'm always moving around. I keep my tools mobile. I do have work currently above Peck's Arcade in Troy, the great restaurant right in the center of Troy there. If people haven't gone there, it's an amazing place to eat. And upstairs at the Tavern Bar, I curate the artwork up there. And as well as several friends of mine have their work in there as well. And I currently have work at Savoy on Lark Street, which is a place I frequent for a nice glass of wine. And that's a great place to go as well. They have a lot of live music there. And I'm fortunate to have my paintings in the back room there right now. So people can see that stuff right away. And once again, on my Instagram page.
So if anybody wants to contact you, the best way is Instagram, or is there other ways?
I can give my email if you want. I don't know if we do that on this show or whatever.
Yeah.
But do you, it's Ferdbot, once again. Yeah, it's ferdbot09@gmail.com. And I'm also I'm on Facebook as well, so people probably find me on there. Yeah.
Okay. So you go by on Facebook. What's your handle on Facebook?
It's my name, Chip Fashana, FASCIANA.
Okay. Chip, this has been really, really special because, you know, everybody has a vision, and I'm so glad you shared your vision with us. So you've been listening. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you. That's so nice of you to say, and I'm very appreciative of you having me on your program.
Oh, my pleasure. So you've been listening to Chip Fashana, and this is Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, #FocusOnAlbany. Chip, thank you. Happy holidays, and Thank you, everybody. We'll be talking soon.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.